भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, entitled Kin Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 7. Nityasyarthasya sambandha नित्यस्यार्थस्य संबंधो यनित्यो दृश्यते नृषु यावद्यस्य हि संबंधो ममत्वं तावदेव हि नित्यस्यार्थस्य संबंधो यनित्यो दृश्यते नृषु यावद्यस्य हि संबंधो ममत्वं तावदेव हि नित्यस्यार्थस्य संबंधो यनित्यो दृश्यते नृषु यावद्यस्य हि संबंधो ममत्वं तावदेव हि। नित्यस्य ऑफ द इटर्नल अर्थस्य थिंग संबंध रिलेशनशिप ही इंडीड अनित्यः टेम्पररी दृश्यते इज सीन नृषु इन ह्यूमन सोसाइटी यावत् एज लॉन्ग एज यस्य ऑफ हूम ही इंडीड संबंध रिलेशनशिप ममत्वम ओनरशिप तावत् दैट लॉन्ग एव इंडीड ही सर्टनली। ट्रांसलेशन प्रपोज्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन अ फ्यू लिविंग एंटिटीज आर बॉर्न इन द ह्यूमन स्पीशीज एंड अदर्स आर बॉर्न as animals. Although both are living entities, the relationships are impermanent. An animal may remain in the custody of a human being for some time, and then the same animal may be transferred to the possession of other human beings. As soon as the animal goes away, the former proprietor no longer has a sense of ownership. As long as the animal is in his possession, he certainly has an affinity for it, but as soon as the animal is sold, the affinity is lost. Purport. Aside from the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another, even in this life, the relationships between living entities are impermanent, as exemplified in this verse. The son of Chitraketu was named Harshashok, or jubilation and lamentation. The living entity is certainly eternal, but because he is covered by a temporary dress, the body, his eternity is not observed. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumarom yauvanam jara. The embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. unquote. Thus, the bodily dress is impermanent. The living entity, however, is permanent. As an animal is transferred from one owner to another, the living entity, who was the son of Chitraketu, lived as his son for some time, but as soon as he was transferred to another body, the affectionate relationship was broken. As stated in the example given in the previous verse, when one has a commodity in his hands, he considers it his. But as soon as it is transferred, it becomes someone else's commodity. Then one no longer has a relationship with it. He has no affection for it, nor does he lament for it. Om Gyan Thimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Desha Tarane Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girmyat Kripata Maham Mande Shri Guru Dinatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing on this pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu since the past couple of months. This whole pastime began with a very fundamental yet important question raised by the most inquisitive and attentively hearing Maharaj Parikshit to Shukdev Goswami. It's very important as we hear this pastime, we shouldn't forget the context in which the pastime began. So Parikshit Maharaj had asked this question when he was hearing about an asura whose name was Vritrasur. At the same time, he was a great devotee of the Lord within. So the moment Parikshit Maharaj heard this statement was going on while Shukdev Goswami was speaking, and while speaking he just mentioned like this that this demon Vritrasur, who was a great devotee of the Lord within, and the statement went on. This immediately raised a question in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, that out of many, many millions of living entities, very few get an opportunity to receive a human body. Out of thousands of those who have human bodies, very few are religious minded. Out of thousands of those who are religious minded, very few aspire for liberation. Out of thousands of those who are aspiring for liberation, very few want to understand Krishna, know Krishna, achieve Krishna. So it is so rare, extremely rare for someone to be a devotee of Krishna. And here is this demon, a devotee of Krishna. How is it so? And thus he asked this question to Shukdev Goswami. And there came the whole pastime of Vritrasura, who in his previous life was Mahachitraketu. Therefore, the pastime began talking about Mahachitraketu. What led to Mahachitraketu becoming Vritrasura? Or a great devotee of the Lord. It is always a very important subject matter for a sadhaka to know how someone became a great devotee of the Lord. Because it is one thing to study Shastra and understand how to become a devotee of the Lord, but it is much easier to understand bhakti or devotional service when we see somebody practicing it and through that practice becoming a great devotee. So Shukadeva Goswami began not just talking, he could have just given an answer that how Chitraketu Maharaj became Vritrasura in very few sentences, but he began in such a way that the audience can relate with the subject matter. That how Chitraketu Maharaj was just like anybody else, a materialistic person who was fruitively attached to wanting a son. And this subject matter is relatable to many people. I know so many families who started chanting Hare Krishna just so that they get their child as a son. And of course, some of them they left as soon as they gave birth to a daughter. But this is an age-old concept where people want a son. And Chitraketu Maharaj was no exception to it. And to want a son, he married. The solution he chose was to marry more and more women. Generally today, people will never think of this solution. To want to have a son, if they're not getting from their wife, they will, using science, they will use different methods. But Chitraketu Maharaj thought, okay, I'll marry another girl, and another girl, and another girl, to the extent it broke Krishna's record of having 1 billion wives. But as was the destiny for him, he still didn't get a child, a son. And thus he was utterly frustrated. This is the nature of having a material desire. If you have a material desire, when you are having it, you are frustrated because of the intense hankering. If it is fulfilled, you become attached to it. If it is not fulfilled, you are frustrated because you cannot get it fulfilled. So it is suffering in the process, suffering in the end, whatever the end may be, whether the desire is fulfilled or not. That is the nature of material desire. And Chitraketu Maharaj somehow had this one desire. And with that desire, because he was not getting it fulfilled, he eventually left his family. Putra vihinam griham shunyam, as Chanakya Pandit says, a family life without a child is what? It's like a desert. What is the use of such a house? So he left his house, he left his family, and he went to the forest in great, utter frustration. And there he met this great sage, Angira Rishi. I mean, this is a very long pastime, I'm just briefing through. And Chitraketu Maharaj opened his heart to this sage. It is very easy, very natural for people in this world to open their hearts to sadhus, because they feel this person will be neutral. He will not take sides. He will give a genuine opinion or understanding to my problem. And he expressed his problem to Angira Rishi, that I want a child. I want the kingdom to be taken care of after I leave. Now Angira Rishi knew the consequences of fulfilling that desire of Chitraketu Maharaj. Material desire, when fulfilled, leads to attachment. Still Angira Rishi blessed Mahachitraketu that you can have a child. Now this looks like Angira Rishi was not a genuine sadhu who is wishing well for Chitraketu Maharaj. He should have given a pravachan explaining how, if you get your desire fulfilled, you'll be frustrated, you'll be miserable. Don't go for this desire. But Angira Rishi is not such an immature preacher. He knew that he has tried 1 million wives to get a son. Now, few words of mine will not convince him that it's all right to not to have a child. Sometimes one has to experience some suffering to understand something to be wrong. And it's worth that suffering. If some suffering teaches us a very important lesson in life, it's worth it. So Angira Rishi knew this very well, that he needs to get his desire fulfilled in such a way that he suffers, but through that suffering, if Krishna so desires, he will learn his lesson. So my speech, he will not take it seriously, because he is Bhog Aishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apahita Chiyatasam Vivasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Na Vidhiyate. One cannot hear the words of a sadhu with focus, with attention, when one is absorbed in material consciousness. Exactly the reason why Vidura never preached to Dhritarashtra. Although in his heart of heart, Vidura had such love and affection for Dhritarashtra, and he wanted Dhritarashtra to be a better person. But he never preached to Dhritarashtra, because Vidura knew very well how attached was Dhritarashtra to his sons, especially Duryodhan. So Vidura waited for years till the Kauravas died. When that object of attachment was removed, some detachment sprung up in the heart of Dhritarashtra. Now is the time. So preaching is just not a matter of speaking something about Krishna, it's also a matter of the right time. So Angira Rishi understood that this is not the time to preach to him right now. So Angira Rishi fulfilled the desire of Chitraketu Maharaj. And he told that, give your child the name Harsh Shokar. Now that didn't matter to Chitraketu. For him, all he wanted is, I want a son. So when he heard this, that his name should be given as Harsh Shokar, he didn't think, why did the sadhu tell me to give the name Harsh Shokar? Maybe the child will give so much suffering to me, so I should not want a child. This thought didn't even pass through his mind. See, sadhus are very intelligent. Even if they are telling you to fulfill a material desire, they are warning you within that fulfillment that you will suffer, my dear son, if you fulfill this desire. He is giving a hint that if somebody is intelligent enough to catch that hint, one can be saved from tons of sufferings. But anyway, Maharaj Chitraketu, as he was so absorbed in fulfillment of his desire, he went ahead with the procedure told by Angira Rishi to have a son. And through his eldest wife, Queen Kritadyuti, Chitraketu Maharaj eventually got a son, finally. And as he followed the instruction of Angira Rishi and gave the child the name Harsha Shoka, still not thinking, why did the sadhu tell me to give this name? And Shri Gaurnita, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ji ki chai. So finally the child arrived. There was great jubilation in the whole kingdom. The king has finally got a son. But please remember, success in this world leads to envy. The more successful one is in this world, with things of this world, one is sure to attract the envy of the envious. And there's no dearth of envious people in this world. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, says that in this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. It was a very striking, shocking, sorrowful statement. Everyone is envious of everyone else. My God. really a strong statement. So that means to be successful in this world, you are provoking the envy of the whole world, of those who are knowing of your success, especially. So people these days propagate their success through media. How successful I am. Some time back, one family told me that in Kolkata, a marriage took place, one of the costliest marriages in the last 10 years. And there was a big number, how many crores, hundreds of crores of rupees were spent in that marriage, and it was published in the newspaper. Now, what is being done by that propagation? So many envious people will think so many thoughts. So many innocent people's material desires will be triggered. If you could spend so much money on his marriage, how much money he must be having? So many plans of people must be smugglers or kidnappers, they must be making plans of how to kidnap that newly wedded wife. We don't know what disaster we are creating for ourselves by propagating our success. Success attracts envy. Although one million wives got a child, but all the remaining wives, they became envious of Queen Kritadyuti. And they thought that the king is giving all his time to that queen now and to that son. That son is the cause of us losing time from the king. We are not able to get the association of the king anymore. So let us remove the problem from the root. And they administered poison to Harshashoka. And the child died. But by this time, Maharaj Chitraketu was enough attached to the son. As soon as he heard that news of his son dead, he couldn't believe. Because he must be making so many plans of how he'll train his child, how he'll send him to Gurukula, how the child will in future take up his whole kingdom. So many plans. The more you invest your thoughts in a relationship, the more you become attached. That's how a woman, when she has a child in her womb for 9 months, she's not even seen that child, but she becomes so attached to that child. One doesn't even know the child is a boy or a girl, ugly or beautiful looking. But one becomes attached, maddeningly attached to the child because of the thoughts invested on that child. But the same thoughts, when it goes towards material things, one becomes attached. And Maharaj Chitraketu was so attached to his child that when he heard this news, he became like a madman. He fainted. And then he got up. And then he walked towards his child. His child was on the upper floor. So he went up the staircase. And he fainted on the way. And he fell down the steps. Again he woke up. Again he climbed up. It was a state of total crazy. He wasn't conscious of what he is doing. He couldn't absorb or digest this news that my son has died. And eventually, till this time the pastime goes in a very normal materialistic story going on. But now comes the reason why this pastime is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Chitraketu Maharaj saw the body of his dead child, and he was crying, lamenting, there came the entry of the great sage Narad Muni, along with Angir Rishi, who had blessed Maharaj Chitraketu to have a child. Now again, see the expertise of Narad Muni. He didn't start saying, "What, Chitraketu, you are crying like a man in ignorance. This is illusion. What relationship you are talking about? He didn't speak anything. Rather, by his devotional potency, he invited the soul in the body of the body of Harshashoka, who had left, to come back again into the body. Let the child speak. The very object of attachment, let that child speak. That will have a much deeper impact on the heart of Chitraketu Maharaj. Then even a great sage whom Chitraketu Maharaj did have a lot of respect for, still, because the attachment, material attachment, makes one blind. Kamondha. Chanakya Pandit talks about four kinds of blind people. One of them is those who become attached, blind because of attachment. So Narad Muni inspired the child, the soul, to enter into the body of the child again, and the child woke up. How happy must be Maharaj Chitraketu to see, oh, my child is alive again. But this time, not like Harshashoka. Not as Harshashoka he rose up. And he looked at Chitraketu Maharaj. Why are you lamenting? Which child are you talking about? I am pure spirit soul. I am nobody's son, and neither are you anybody's father. We are two individual souls on our journey towards God. And he spoke beautiful philosophy. Hearing which, Maharaj Chitraketu's heart transformed. It was the empowerment given to that child by Narad Muni. It cannot happen simply by the child's speech. For any time anyone experiences transformation, there has to be some prayers, blessings of some great devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Unless Krishna Shakti flows to somebody, Pravartan or Parivartan or transformation cannot take place in the heart. It's not by mere powerful, strong words that somebody's heart can be transformed. One can be impressed at the most for some time. But when the words hit the heart, penetrate the heart, and one experiences a transformation, a realization, that means there is some blessing of a great devotee of the Lord. Because the whole incident took place in the presence of a personality like Narad Muni, who's Bhakti Shakti personified. Chitraketu Maharaj went through a great transformation of the heart. And here in this verse, this is one of the verses spoken by the child. Today's verse that we are talking about. And these series of verses, Harshashoka is talking about how relationships of this world are temporary. It's not really worth investing time and energy on relationships of this world. The relationships of this world are designed to give suffering. If the relationship is good, suffering comes through attachment. Same way as we discussed initially, material desires being fulfilled or not fulfilled. If the relationship is good with anyone, we become attached to that person. If the relationship is bad, there is aversion. Both attachment and aversion are two sides of a coin, of the same coin of misery. When you become attached, that attachment makes us weak. Because in the absence of the one whom you are attached to, you feel despondent, you feel miserable, you feel empty, you feel lonely. And the relationship doesn't work out fine, then there is misery. So relationships of this world are meant to give suffering. Intelligent person never invests on relationships of this world. Now this may sound like, give up everything, all relationships of this world, no family. Why families are there then? Why one should get married? When anyways, you'll form a material relationship and the relationship will give suffering. Now here comes a very important principle. Although not here in the purport directly, but it's very important to think of in this context. Because when we talk about detachment, family life is all temporary and all those things, immediately we feel like, are wife, husband is anyways frustrated with his wife, he thinks good, you know, got philosophical basis to it, or vice versa. One thinks of just giving up those relationships. No, there is something called as dharma, something called as one's duty. So within relationships of this world, whatever duties are there, they have to be performed. If a man gets married, now it's his duty to maintain that soul in the body of that woman as Krishna's arrangement for him to take up responsibility for that woman to liberate her from the cycle of birth and death. On this ground, if one interacts with that soul in the body of that woman, then that relationship will never become material. And similarly for the woman, that the soul in the body of this man has been arranged by the Lord through my karma to come in my life in the form of somebody whom is called as a husband. And thus I have a duty to perform. When it comes to duty, one has to give up both attachment and aversion. I like this, I don't like this. Whether the husband says something good or says something bad, I have to do my duty. My duty towards my wife, my duty towards my husband has been performed because this is a Krishna-given duty. This is a Krishna-given relationship. Chaturvarnayam maya srishtam, Krishna says. It's me who has designed this four varnas and ashramas. So Grihastha ashram is designed by Krishna. And by Krishna's arrangement through a karma, one gets a particular boy or a girl as a wife or a husband. I'm just taking this one example of this one relationship of husband-wife. It's applicable to any other relationship also. Wherever there's a duty, then you cannot give up, consider this principle of just giving up relationship because it's material. Don't let the relationship become material. If it becomes material, it has to give suffering. And because people allow the relationship between husband and wife to become material, and when it gives suffering, they say marriage is bad. That's not the right principle. Because you allowed the relationship to become material, and material relationship is sure to give suffering, why are you blaming the principle made by Krishna? The arrangement made by Krishna. Krishna made the arrangement of Grihastha ashram. The word ashram means a place where people have taken ashray of the Lord. Then can it only be called as ashram? All four, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, are ashrams. So if one is duty conscious, then one can give up one's raga, dvesha, which is what is talked about again and again in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Raga, dvesha, vumuktayastu, vishyanindriyaisharam, atma vishayar vidheyatma, prasadam arikachyati. Practically all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, without an exception, talks about giving up attachment and aversion, directly or indirectly in some way. So this is the step towards transcendence. We enter into a transcendental realm. We enter into a realm beyond modes when we are able to give up raga dvesha. And the procedure is duty consciousness. Be conscious of one's dharma and do it whether you like it or not. In this mood, the relationships never turn material. They never turn sour. And if this principle is not kept in place, then whatever the man may do for his wife, or whatever the wife may do for the husband, still the opposite party will be dissatisfied. We cannot satisfy anybody in this world by our efforts. The only person we can satisfy is Krishna. And yasmin tushte, jagat tushta. Trying to satisfy even one person in this world is a fruitless endeavor. If you think that I'll satisfy him or her by my efforts, I'll do something, even that person is satisfied, it will be temporary. The very person who once upon a time did become satisfied by your efforts, don't be surprised if he goes or she goes totally against you and criticizes you, forgetting all that you had done for that person. That's the nature of material relationships. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that don't perform the six loving exchanges with materialistic people. Or if you perform them, he mentioned this in Madhuri Kadambani, don't invest your heart. Dadati prati grinhati guhyam akhyati pichyati. Don't open your heart. Don't reveal your heart to a materialistic person. They will exploit you. They will take advantage of your opening of your heart. It's not worth it. Don't invest heart in relationships with anybody of this world. Or when I say anybody of this world, anybody who is in material consciousness. You'll have to pay a price, heavy price for it. You'll regret. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada stresses on having six loving exchanges with devotees as a very important means to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Because no man is an island. We can't just keep giving up relationships because they are material, give it up, material, give it up. We have to have some spiritual relationships. So this whole purport, although it's talking about detachment from material relationships, giving up material relationships, but this is only one side of the coin. It's not possible to just keep giving up things unless there's something higher to accept. So one has to invest on spiritual relationships. That means relationship based on Krishna in picture. As I said, give example of husband-wife. This soul has been put in the body of a man who has been arranged by Krishna for me through my karma for me to perform my duties of a wife. I needed to perform my duties as a wife towards somebody, and here is Krishna's merciful arrangement that this soul has been sent. Now whether the soul is doing activities which I like or which I don't like, speak things which I like or don't like, it doesn't matter. But if we are not absorbed in this area, that it is a Krishna arranged relationship, even if it is love marriage, unless Krishna sanctions that relationship, it's not possible for relationship to happen, for that marriage to take place. So if we see in that perspective, then we are setting a very good standard for the relationship to become spiritual. And spiritual relationship is worth investing. If we don't invest on spiritual relationships, we will invest inevitably on material relationships. And material relationships mean suffering. In either ways, whether it works right or works wrong, we are digging our own grave. We are inviting suffering. If we allow relationships to become material, or we invest on relationships on the material plane. So this is a very, very important subject matter. Srila Prabhupada's life, Srila Prabhupada's interactions, when I think of loving exchanges, prominent example of Srila Prabhupada's the last days of his pastimes on the planet Earth, when he expressed his desire of going for Govardhan Parikrama while he was in Vrindavan. His body was apparently very externally appearing old, and there was devotees who said, Prabhupada, you cannot go to Govardhan Parikrama, your body will not be able to take the jerks which will be on the way. We know that beautiful pastime which is there in the Leela Amrita. And there were a group of devotees who, Prabhupada says that, we have to fulfill the instruction of our spiritual master. We will take Srila Prabhupada for Govardhan Parikrama. On the other side of the party, we cannot take Prabhupada. It's not, both had, were saying what they were saying out of their love for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was determined to go. All the devotees were warning, requesting him, begging him. He allowed a lot of time to pass. And And towards after many, many hours, Srila Prabhupada called that party of devotees who were against Srila Prabhupada to go for Govardhan Parikrama. And Prabhupada asked them, "You don't want me to go for Govardhan Parikrama? Prabhupada, if you go for that parikrama, it'll hurt you." And in their own sweet way, they were conscious that you're speaking to a pure devotee. You can't use terms like you'll die or things like that, but it'll be too... they just expressed their pain that they would experience seeing Srila Prabhupada go for that parikrama and the consequences of that parikrama, thinking of that of those consequences. And then Prabhupada, "Okay, I will not go." "Jai Srila Prabhupada," and they were so happy. Other team, for them, it was just to follow the instruction. If Prabhupada says, "I don't want to go," fine. So they'll be okay with it. It's only Prabhupada who has to agree not to go. It was not a fight between two parties. But then, next day, the devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, the way you dealt with the whole situation, you just got out our love for you. It enhanced our relationship with you. It made us feel so much more love towards you." And Prabhupada says, "That's the duty of the Special Master." So, what does the Special Master do with his disciples? Loving exchanges. This is how philosophy is taught. It's not through rules and regulations that Srila Prabhupada taught us philosophy. It is through just expressing his affection. And in such a way that he got out that Krishna, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sattvika Guna, we all have that hidden, sleeping love for Krishna in our heart. It just needs an expert personality to bring out that love from within. The essence of a loving relationship, loving exchange. When we use the word loving exchange, we mean, we generally have the conception, we are our hand around the hand of some devotee, or speaking some very sweet, kind words, fulfilling some desires of that person. The essence of a loving interaction is selflessness. In that interaction, one doesn't want anything from the person you're interacting with. All one wants is to serve the person whom you're interacting with. In that mood, even if you chastise that person, it's a loving exchange. The exchange has between two people have to be based on how can I serve you. If two people are coming together in this mood, how can I serve you? And this person, how can I serve you? That exchange is a very, very sweet exchange. What is talked in that exchange is not as important as the attitude within that speech. The speech is to get something from the other person. Very sweet words are talked about. "Prabhu, you are such a wonderful devotee. It's so nice to see you. I'm so happy today to see you." Sometimes devotees speak very externally kind words, which is good. But if it is with some hidden motive that you want to get from that devotee, it's not a loving exchange. It will not really deeply touch the heart of the person who is hearing those words. So loving exchange is the medium through which we form spiritual relationships with devotees. And seeing the devotees in a way that they are souls, like as Srila Prabhupada is talking in these purports, rather than seeing the bodily relation with that person, here is a soul arranged by Krishna to come for me in my family, in my life. Let me serve him. What will you do with a soul sent by Krishna? Serve. Nothing else to be done. In any relationship, whether it's husband-wife, whether it's father-child, whether it's friend, any soul comes your way, not you have to be confused, what to do now? You have to serve. Because Jivira Swarup Hoye Krishna Nitya Das, we just meant to serve Krishna. How? Through people whom Krishna sends in our life. Any person who comes your way, like you're coming to a temple and somebody says, "Prabhu, where is the way to toilet?" Serve him. "No, dare kya, these people all the time, they have come to temple, they're asking for a toilet. You have asked for, where is Krishna? When you talk about Krishna, what are you talking?" No, just be there to serve. You never know by your attitude to serve what kind of impact he may have in his heart. It may be some apparent material talk, but it's not that the words that has the impact, it's the attitude within those words that causes that impact. So when a selfless loving exchange takes place, it provokes our spiritual relationship with that person. And when spiritual relationships are enhanced, one can easily give up material relationship, because anyway there's no juice in material relationships. Just like material relationships are dry. It's based on exploitation. What can I get from you? Rather than what can I do for you? Spiritual relationship is based on what can I do for you. Material relationship is based on what can I get from you. So all we have to do is change our perception and conception of interacting with devotees. The very devotees whom we never liked, whom we could not tolerate, who used to get on your nerves the moment you saw them, you can have such sweet exchanges with them. Like Srila Prabhupada, one of his purports says, you should interact with your enemy in such a way that he forgets that he had any enmity towards you. That is Vaishnava. It's like a beautiful standard of a Vaishnava Srila Prabhupada gave us. When you interact with somebody who has inimical feeling towards you, if you carry inimical feelings for that person in your heart, you cannot have a loving exchange with him. Better keep a distance. As Bhagavatam says, prema, maitra, kripa, upeksha. You should stay away from those who are envious. Why? Because we don't carry that loving heart towards those who are envious of us at the level of a madhyama adhikari, so keep away from them. Because you don't have that potency to change their heart also. Narad Muni went to Daksha. Although Daksha had such inimical feelings towards Narad Muni for having taken away his 11,000 children and making them into brahmacharis, Narad Muni knew very well that Daksha had such a negative feeling towards him. Still he went, because he had that loving heart towards Daksha to do all good to him. He knew that by that heart that he's carrying towards Daksha, Daksha's heart will change. His enmity will not remain there in his heart. So rather than thinking of how to remove the envious people, how to remove them from our way, those people who are inimical towards you, think of how you can transform their heart by having positive feelings for them. And what the way to have positive feelings for them? They are also souls, part and parcel of Krishna, who have been sent by Krishna for a purpose in my life. He is acting as an enemy towards me and thinking me as his enemy for a purpose. I must have felt such feelings for him in my past life for sure, that Krishna has arranged for no reason that he is thinking inimical towards me. Now let me, in my heart of hearts, serve him. At least think of serving him. Just by that thought, we don't know how Krishna will transform his heart now. Because we are having a positive feeling towards somebody who is having negative feeling towards you. It's not easy. It's not easy. Generally, when somebody becomes envious towards us, we also want to have the same feelings towards them. Naturally, it happens because in our conditioned stage. But as we associate with pure-hearted souls, their love, their affection for others gets, Prabhupada used the word, injected into our hearts. Like an injection, their love gets injected. That's what happens when you associate with pure souls. Their qualities of their heart gets injected into us when we are in a mood to serve them. Whoever you serve, their qualities get injected into your heart. Therefore, Rupa Sanatana Goswami was so fearful of serving Nawab Hussain Shah. Because they knew very well the consequences of serving someone. Anyway, so this is a very important principle Srila Prabhupada is talking about in this purport of from this pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu and the Harshashoka that he is speaking of not getting entangled in material relationships or relationships of this world or relationships on material grounds. Any relationship you can transform into spiritual relationship by the right conceptions or the right perception we have towards that soul. So we don't need to give up relationships. We have to transform the relationship from a material relationship to a spiritual relationship. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for a patient hearing. Any one comment? or suggestion? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the moral interpretation. It's a moral talk. You give a lot of moral talk. Thank you so much. My question is on two examples given in the focus and the translation. And the example is of animal and Prabhupada talking about commodity. So sometimes I can comprehend that using material, you know, to equivalent or illustrate or give. Explain the idea of the soul. Is it really a comparison thing?
Yeah, just like the two examples Prabhupada gave. He gave example of gold. Somebody goes to a goldsmith, purchases some gold, owns it for some time, sells it to somebody else. That person who purchased it will sell it to somebody else. Sell it to somebody else. So that gold is passing through various owners. At for some number of years, the gold had X owner. Some number of years, Y owner, Z owner. Different owners were there at different point. But actually, the gold is nobody's property. Out of illusion, somebody for some time thinks that this gold is my property. Similarly, just like the gold is passing from one owner to another owner, soul is passing from one body to another body. And when it's in a particular body, somebody says, he is my son, claims proprietorship over that soul within that body for some time. Just like this owner was owning the gold for some time. Next owner. In the Bhagavatam, it is said when Mother Earth hears somebody says, I am purchasing this plot of land, she gets a laughter. It's something to, what you are thinking, you are owning this land. I was here before you came. And after you leave also, I'll be here. That plot of land will be there. Foolishly one claims proprietorship over it. And there's so much of anxiety possessing it. And before you leave, you have to think of how to give it to somebody so it's not misused. So much of anxiety. Owning anything of this world is anxiety. But it's temporary. After some time, somebody else will claim. Once upon a time, Mughals were claiming India as their property. Britishers came and claimed my our property. In land was the same land. Different people are coming, claiming proprietorship over it and going. Similarly, gold, people claiming proprietorship over it, but the gold is still there, it's going from one owner to another. Similarly, in this example of animal, somebody owning the animal and selling it in the marketplace. Somebody else owning it, selling it in the marketplace. So the example of the animal is within one life. Within a life, it may go through many, many owners. So similarly, soul goes through many, many bodies, but soul is nobody's property. Soul is only Krishna's servant. But foolishly one thinks, I am his property or her property, or the person thinks he or she is my property, my wife, my child. It's exactly like somebody saying, my gold, or my dog, or my cat. But you will sell it to somebody else, finished. Where is my dog gone? So transient. So therefore, there is a comparison, beautiful comparison to it. You can think of gold, like we have 100 rupee note. Somebody takes it, you purchase something from the shop, the shopkeeper will also go to some shop to purchase something. He'll give the same note to somebody else, and that note is going on, passing. People who owned it for some time will go, but that note will remain and it will keep on going from owner to owner. Exactly like that, the soul is going from one body to another in its journey. Soul is nobody's property, and nobody should claim proprietorship over the soul. A soul means, the moment you see a soul, what am I supposed to do? Serve. Not claim proprietorship over it, get something from it. That's illusion. That will give suffering. Very, very striking example actually. Very, very striking example. Last point, Prabhu's point. I'm sorry for extending. Why didn't you do austerity to get a son rather than marrying me? Yes, very good question. You are studying Shastra, so you know that if you want a son, you should do tapasya. Very good. That's the procedure. That's what, how Ganga Mata came on the planet Earth. So much tapasya was done behind it. So generally, to get anything fulfilled, people used to have the standard practice, tapasya. But here it is mentioned, how fruitively attached was Mahachitraketu. When you are very attached to material desires, you don't want to undergo the austerities of the tapasya. He didn't, tapasya means trouble, no? He didn't want to go through the troubles, but without going through troubles, he wanted to fulfill his desires, which is what everyone is doing in this world. People want to fulfill their desires, what they are not getting easily, not through tapasya. Through some way or means, some material means. So he thought of one solution, let me marry more women. Today somebody wants a child, they don't go for tapasya either. The Vedic principle was what you are exactly saying. But he was not in a position to follow that Vedic principle because he was too materially attached. He didn't want to go through that austerity. He was very fruitive basically. He wanted the fulfillment of material desire without the price to pay. That's what everyone is doing in this world. He didn't want it to go through the tapasya. The trouble that comes from the tapasya. But getting so many wives, isn't it trouble? But because he was the king, he could afford to have many wives and keep them going on. He felt that is lesser tapasya at least. Then leaving the family and going to the forest and performing that kind of tapasya that you are talking about. If he could have got your association, maybe he would have agreed to go for tapasya. Thank you for your thought process. Hare Krishna. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. Srila Prabhupada ki chai.